Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Excited to be in church today. You know why? Because today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the birth of the New Testament church, as many call it. Many scholars say that, you know, Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, Peter, you are a rock and on this rock I will build my church. Well, it was Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost after the Holy Spirit had flooded that upper room when they were together in one accord. It was Peter that stood up and began to preach the gospel. And thousands of souls came into the kingdom of God on that day. And we celebrate and we remember this day as the birth of the church. And so I want to say to you, happy birthday. In a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate 1 year as the Well Fort Payne, as that we've been planning here. We've been having service here, which is absolutely amazing. And I'm so excited and I'm so thankful to God for his goodness. But let me tell you, even though we planted last year on Father's Day, the church of Jesus Christ has been going for over 2,000 years strong. And I just want to celebrate that today. Can you just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for the fact that some 2,000 years ago, something that happened long before you and I were ever even a thought in our mama or daddy's eye, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, birthed his church. And here we are, some 2,000 years later, still serving him, still loving him, still able to gather together, still able to be used by him. And so happy birthday to the church. And today we celebrate that outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened. And the reason that it's called Pentecost, just a little history lesson for you real quick, is because the word Pentecost means 50. It was 50 days after Passover. It was a festival that was celebrated in the Jewish culture. It was 40 days after Jesus had ascended to the Father, that he had told the disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem. And it was after he was crucified, buried, and resurrected in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He told the disciples, he said that you will receive power, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But he told them something specific that I think a lot of people don't get. A lot of people don't think about it when it comes to Pentecost. Is he said, you go, the Bible says he commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. And in fact, because of Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 7, we know that at that appearance of Jesus Christ, when he told and commanded the people following to go and wait in Jerusalem, there were 500 people. The Bible says there were some 500 people there that he commanded to go wait in the upper room for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But if you keep reading in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit shows up, it says there was about 120 people in the upper room, right? So Jesus appeared to 500. He commanded them to wait in Jerusalem, but only 120 of them were faithful and obedient to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So what happened to the other 380 people that were present? Jesus gave them the same promise he gave everybody else. He said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Go wait in Jerusalem. But 380 people chose not to. You know, I'm sure for some of them, it was their job. Like, I gotta make a livelihood. I gotta have a job. You know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. You know, maybe it was because they had family obligations. They had somebody they had to go see, something they needed to do, activities for their children. Maybe for some of them, you know, their garden needed tending or their fence needed mending or the fish were biting. And they had all these different reasons as to why they couldn't go and spend 40 days just sitting in an upper room and waiting. But I've learned in life that there are some things that are worth waiting for. There are some things that are worth putting everything else on hold in order to be able to lay hold of the promise that God has given to his people. So 40 days, these 120 people were waiting in the upper room. They were praying, they were hoping, they were seeking. And I just believe that we get way too busy in our culture. Yeah. If Jesus showed up today, and I believe he's here, but if he showed up in person and said, I want you to wait 40 days, how many of us would still be waiting 40 days later? In fact, he didn't even tell them 40 days. He just said, I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. We get way too busy. And I want you to know today, we need to learn to spend more time just waiting on the Lord. Waiting on him. Listen, not only should we realize that waiting is a good thing, but we should have the understanding that there are promises through the Word of God that come from waiting on the Lord. Jesus told them, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He commanded them to do so. Isaiah chapter 40 says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Psalm chapter 27 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen you. I want you to get this today. If you feel tired, if you feel hopeless, if you feel uninspired, if you feel ready to quit, don't drink another energy drink. Don't watch another episode of Dr. Phil. Just wait on the Lord. Just shut everything else off and just say, God, I'm waiting on you because I need you to renew my strength. I need you to fill me with courage. I need you to fill me with hope. I need you to fill me fresh and new with your Holy Spirit. Good things come to those who wait. That's something that we say that we know, but how often do we actually sit and wait on the Lord? We end up being like the 380 instead of the 120, and we wonder, where's the blessing? Where's the promise? Where's the outpouring? Where's the greatness that I'm hoping for and I'm longing for that I want to see and experience in my life? It's because we're unwilling to wait the way that he commanded to wait. In fact, when the Bible says in Hebrew, wait on the Lord, that word wait means confident expectation. Confident expectation. This tells me it doesn't mean just twiddling your thumbs and tapping your toe and waiting, 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 waiting. It means that you expect God to show up and do what you can't do for yourself. It means that you are confident that he will intervene on your behalf in your situation. And in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the 120 people that were present in the upper room when Pentecost had fully come experienced what the 380 could not. Yeah. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Because it's not that they could not, it's that they would not. Yeah. So often we think, well, I guess it's not for me. But we have a commandment, we have a promise that if we wait upon the Lord, he'll renew our strength. That's right. And then we wonder, where's the power? Where's the strength? Where's the courage? Where's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? But we're just running and running and running and running and running. And I should have had an example, but it's a lot harder to fill a vessel that's moving than one that's sitting still, right? You ever tried to pour something in a cup your child was holding? That's just terrible idea, right? That's like, I always know when we go to a restaurant if a server has children. You know how I know? Because when they bring the drinks, they don't put the drinks in front of the children. But you can always tell a server that doesn't have any children because when they bring the drinks, they just set one in front of this child, set one in front of that child, and I'm immediately like, pull them here. Because if I don't grab them, they will, right? But it's a lot easier to fill a vessel that is still, that is waiting. And God is calling us back to a place of patience and waiting. In fact, I almost spoke fully on patience today, but I didn't feel like that was the direction that wanted me to go. But one thing I want to point out to you is nowhere in the Bible does it say that the 120 was more talented, gifted, loved, favored than the other 380. Jesus gave all 500 of them the same opportunity, but only 120 were obedient to the command. So, wait on the Lord, I say. Be patient. And don't just wait, but wait expectantly. Yes. Wait with confident expectation, knowing that he will show up. So today, what I want to talk to you about is what happens in your life as you have relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not a thing, he's a person. He's a one part of the three persons of God that make up one God, and we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, but sometimes we don't walk in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about what happens when you, what will he reproduce in your life? What will he bring to fruition in your life? And obviously we know that there's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience. And in fact, in the month of June, we're going to start studying all 9 of those fruits of the Spirit. We're going to take them one by one, and we're just going to dive in deeper to them and figure out how can I allow the Holy Spirit to develop and produce more love in my life, more joy in my life, more peace in my life. So if you're hungry to know more about that, come out on Wednesday nights as we go. Wednesday nights are so fun because we get to go deeper and we get to do more discipleship type things. But obviously we know about the fruit of the Spirit, but there's so much more that the Holy Spirit can produce in our life. And just like he rewarded the 120 when they obeyed and they showed up with expectation, he will reward people that are hungry for him and people that wait for him. So I want to encourage you, when you go to church, okay, and you're here today, wonderful job. That's awesome. You showed up. But when you show up, when you come, when you get ready, when you're driving on the way here, come expecting. Come ready to receive. This isn't just somewhere that you come and you sit for an hour and a half. This is somewhere that you come and you get plugged in. And like when we were singing earlier, you're in the Father's house. This isn't just drywall and just concrete and just steel beams. This is the place. I love what the psalmist said. I love your sanctuary. Why? Because it's the place where your glory dwells. It's not that the glory of God can't be in your home and in your life, but there's something special about coming to church. But things happen when people come expectant. Just like those 120 people, they weren't just sitting in the upper room. They were praying. They were expectant. They were waiting. They were being obedient to what God had called them to do. And so today, I want to give you three things that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life as you walk in relationship with Him. So let me ask you, did you show up ready to receive today?
Yes.
All right, let's get into this. Because as you are led by the Holy Spirit and submitted to His voice, He will produce beneficial things in your life. Jesus didn't go to the Father and leave the Holy Spirit here just so you could speak in tongues.
That's right.
Okay? I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the gift of tongues. I believe in prayer language. In fact, I use my prayer language on a daily basis. So I am not in any shape, form, or fashion putting down the gift of tongues. But I feel that many Pentecostal churches zone too much in on that, and they miss other things that the Holy Spirit wants to do and produce in your life, because it's a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So how sad is it that in many of the minds and members of the Pentecostal church, they've reduced the person of the Holy Spirit to the gift of tongues?
Yeah.
Okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't just make you charismatic. He doesn't just make you shout. He doesn't just make you dance. He doesn't just make you speak in tongues. He also makes you holy. He teaches you in all things. He leads you. He strengthens you. There is so much more that I feel a lot of the church is missing out on, because when you say Holy Spirit, they think tongues. They think the day of Pentecost. Listen, you know the most exciting thing to me about the day of Pentecost? 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom.
Right.
To me, that's the most important thing. And God used the gift of tongues to get people saved. The gift of tongues and prayer language is not just so that you can, you know, move your mouth and syllables come out and just so that you can feel some kind of way. It's supposed to be used by God. It says they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The most important thing is that the Spirit is leading you and guiding you and giving you utterance and strengthening you and teaching you to say no to this and say yes to God. The Holy Spirit is so much more than just the gift of tongues. And again, I have nothing against the gift of tongues. Like I said, I pray in the Spirit daily. The book of Jude says praying in the Spirit, building up your most holy faith. It's important that each believer would know how to communicate with God through the praying of the Spirit, through praying in tongues. But He's a companion, the Holy Spirit is. He's a companion that is necessary to properly walk through this life. And I want to tell you, I don't want to do life without the Holy Spirit. I think I shared this a couple weeks ago. Somebody asked their pastor one time. They said, "Pastor, can you go to heaven without the Holy Spirit?" He said, "Go to heaven without the Holy Spirit? Bro, I don't even want to go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit." What are you talking about going to heaven without the Holy Spirit? I want Him to be a constant companion in my life. That's why it says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, I don't want to get ahead of myself because we're going to end there today, but it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Amen? So what does the Holy Spirit produce in our life? I want to give you three simple things today that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. This is not an exhaustive list. This is simply the three things that the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I sought Him and asked Him. And listen, this has been an interesting sermon for me. This is my third sermon I've prepared for today. So I'm not going to preach all of them. Don't get nervous. It's okay. You'll still get to Chow King on time. Maybe. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does. But this is not an exhaustive list. This is just simply three things that the Holy Spirit put His finger on and said, I want you to highlight these three things and teach the people today to understand what comes with a relationship from the Holy Spirit. So can we pray today and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, I thank You so much that You gave us Your Holy Spirit, that You sent Your Son He came as a perfect model, perfect example. He lived, he died, he was resurrected. But he said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. But I'm going to the Father and I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you an advocate. I'm sending you a comforter. I'm sending you a paraclete, one that will be with you, lead you, guide you, teach you in all things. Bring to remembrance the things that I have said to you. And Lord, I pray that today, as I communicate your word, that I would do so through the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the utterance that came on Peter that day. I pray that that same utterance will be upon me to preach your gospel and people would have an understanding and a receptive heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hold your Bible up if you have it with you today and declare this with me. Say, I am what his word says I am. I can do what his word says I can do. I can be who his word says I can be. So today, I'll be taught the word of God. I'll receive the word of God. I'll obey the word of God. Because I love the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can open up to Acts chapter 1. We are going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8 really quickly together. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay, these were the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended to the Father. While his feet were touching ground, this was the last thing that he said, right? And so I think it's important that we highlight these things and we understand, but what's the number one thing that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life? What did Jesus say to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? But you shall receive power. The first thing that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life is power. Now, I think that the power of the Holy Spirit is one of the most misconstrued things in all of church history, because a lot of people don't understand what it actually means to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm afraid that amongst Pentecostal and charismatic church, that Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the day that we are here for today, has become nothing more than a day on the calendar for people to get excited about a power that they do not possess. They come to church. Woo, it's Pentecost. Praise God. Tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit was poured out. But it's not something that people have actually encountered and are seeing produced in their life. It's not that they can't, it's that they don't. Remember, he showed up to 500 people, but only 120 waited by the commandment of Jesus in the upper room. Too many people, too many Christian people, live with no power in their life. Power over sin, power over darkness, power over emotional distress. If you come to church to celebrate Pentecost today, but you don't have the power to say no to temptation tomorrow, if you come to church today and you celebrate Pentecost, but you don't have the power to be kind to your spouse, to treat your children and raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, then you haven't encountered the person of Pentecost. You have encountered a religious holiday that's on your calendar because you were raised in a Pentecostal church, and praise God, everybody gets excited because it's Pentecost, but nobody lives with power Monday through Saturday. And I don't want to be a church that lacks power. Listen, this isn't the only place that you can experience the power of God. If the Holy Spirit is on you, the Holy Spirit is in you, the Holy Spirit is leading you, you can have power when you go to work tomorrow. And could it be that, like the other 380 people, sometimes life is just more important than Holy Spirit? Something else grabs our attention. I'm tired of seeing a generation of believers that raise their hands in worship on Sunday and raise their hands in surrender to the enemy Monday through Saturday because there's no power. The enemy comes and people just give right into him. Why? Because there's no power. You can't withstand something unless you have strength. Unless you have power. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes upon you and comes within you to give you power, not just to speak in tongues, but to say no, to overcome the enemy, to defeat that depression, to defeat that fear, to mend the relationship between you and your spouse. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just shaking and dancing and shouting. It's the ability to understand that I belong to him and he belongs to me. He's a constant companion. He's with me in the lows. He's with me in the highs. He's with me in the wilderness. He's with me when things are good. He's with me when things are bad. And I can have the power to overcome every temptation, every demonic oppression, every fear, every worry, every insecurity that tries to come my way. I have power to say no to it. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive receive power. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in your life. You know what that word power means? That word power means miraculous ability. Miraculous ability. I believe that we should see the miraculous being taking place in our life, in Walmart, at work, in our neighborhood, everywhere that we go. When we come to church, we should see it. But you know why we don't see more miracles? I believe this to be 100% truth. I believe that the reason we don't see more miracles is because most people are content to rely on their own ability instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to produce power in their life. We're comfortable with where we are, who we are. It goes back to, if you were here Wednesday night, if you weren't, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the word that one of our overseers, Pastor Frankie Powell, preached out of the book of Luke, chapter 6, where he talked about how we have become so comfortable in American Christianity that we don't even use our faith anymore, right? And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. So many people are content to live without the power of the Holy Spirit because they would rather rest in their own ability. In their own strength. But you can't have miraculous strength without the power of the Holy Spirit. That power, that dunamis power that Jesus, promised to the believers can only come from a relationship with Holy Spirit. Not an encounter with Holy Spirit, but relationship with Holy Spirit. The problem is so much of the Pentecostal church today has merely encountered the Holy Spirit and has not had relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's why we wonder, where's the power? Where is it? Why can't I work in miracles? Why can't I say no to this? Why don't I have power over the enemy? Why is it that when I say things and do things and pray things, they don't happen? It's because you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see, relationship, it takes time. One thing that I've realized about having a deep relationship with someone is sometimes it just takes time. Which goes back to Jesus said, wait. I've seen so many people that are hungry to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they act like it's something that is out of reach. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not out of reach. Sometimes it just takes time. 40 days for the original church that they waited. Some people get saved, and they're like, I want the power of the Holy Spirit, and I want to be baptized. I want a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And 5 days later, they're like, I guess I'm just not going to get it. It takes time. Yeah. Wait, I say on the Lord. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, listen, we will pray for you. And you have to receive the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it just takes patience, just waiting. But if you wait, that power that He promised will come. Amen? Here's the second thing that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life as you walk in relationship with Him, and that is conviction. Come on, somebody say amen to conviction. The Holy Spirit, listen, you ought to thank God that He sent the Holy Spirit to convict you. So many people don't want conviction. They want to push it away. They want to shun it. They don't want anything to do with it because they think that it makes them uncomfortable. It thinks that it makes them feel weird. But listen, you should thank God for conviction. I'm afraid of what my life would look like without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So we shouldn't shun it. We shouldn't push it away. But rather, we should gladly welcome conviction, saying, Holy Spirit, convict me, please. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me what I need to do. Show me what I'm doing right. Show me what I'm not doing right. Because when you feel convicted, this should be so encouraging to you. When you feel convicted, it's proof that the Holy Spirit is active in your life. When there is no voice of conviction, then there's a void of the Holy Spirit in your life. So when you feel convicted, instead of thinking, oh, this is bad, this is not good, I'm ashamed, I'm scared, this shouldn't be happening, you should go, thank you, God, that you didn't let me blindly walk into this temptation, but rather you showed me what was going on in it. So when you feel convicted, conviction is simply proof that the Father loves you, that He wants what's best for you, and that the Holy Spirit is active in speaking into your life. He wants to keep you or restore you to intimacy. That's why He convicts you. In John chapter 14 through 16, and if you don't have a good understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, go read John 14 through 16. Because Jesus so clearly lays out and shows us exactly who the Holy Spirit is. He's a much better communicator of it than I can be today. So I encourage you to go back and read John 14 through 16. But Jesus describes to us in those chapters many characteristics of the Holy Spirit. But in chapter 16, verse 8, he says this, "And when he," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So one of the characteristics, one of the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit is to convict. I love what Reverend Billy Graham said. He said, it's God's job to judge, Holy Spirit's job to convict, and my job to love. Okay? I just want to newsflash everybody. You are not your household's convictor. You are not this church's convictor. You are not Facebook's convictor. Your job is to judge, and if the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, to love. Woo! Judge not lest ye be judged. Your job is to love. I got them mixed up there for a second. I don't want to confuse anybody. Are we clear? It's not your job to judge, okay? All right, good deal. It's your job to love. Now, if the Holy Spirit in you convicts someone else, then it was him that did the convicting and not you. I've noticed that anytime I try to convict someone, all I do is condemn them. You cannot condemn someone into the kingdom.
That's right.
Okay? But when Holy Spirit convicts someone, it's a positive thing, right? So he says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Now, I want you to understand something about that word convict. It is not like its English counterpart, the word in the Greek, convict, is not like you and I would think about the word convict. Because in English, the word convict means to declare guilty, okay? That's not what the word convict in the Greek means. It means to expose.
Good.
He will expose to the world, sin for what it really is. I know this is a terrible analogy. I wasn't even allowed to watch Scooby-Doo growing up because I was Christian and homeschooled, and you watch VeggieTales and stuff like that growing up when you're Christian. But I do remember that they would pull the mask off of a lot of times they would pull the mask and they would say, "Let's see who this really is," right? And that's what I thought of is the Holy Spirit, what he does is sin wants to make itself look appealing. It wants to make itself look fun. And the Bible says it is pleasurable for a season. So you can either allow the Holy Spirit to convict you and expose sin for what it is in the beginning, or you will find out what it really is in the end either way. But the Holy Spirit, what he does is he exposes sin for the trap that it really is. So when you're walking with the Holy Spirit and you see something that is tempting, instead of seeing it as something that's alluring, something that's fun, Holy Spirit says, "No, I'm going to let you see the way that I see this, and I'm going to let you see through the facade that it puts up of looking good and feeling good and being good, and you just do you and you do whatever you want, and I'm going to expose it so that you see that it leads to death, it leads to hell, it leads to enmity with God, it leads to destruction, it leads to depression, it leads to failure." So you better thank the Holy Spirit for conviction, because what he does is he exposes sin for what it really is.
Good.
He shows you what it means. So you should be thankful that you have a companion that will expose sin for what it really is. He'll lift up the mask and he will allow you to see in the Spirit what you cannot ascertain with your natural eye. Because to your natural eye, it looks great. It looks good. Looks like a great idea. But the word convict also means discipline. So there's that aspect of it too. Yes, he will expose sin for what it is, but he'll also discipline when we give in to the sin that he has already exposed. Okay? He will show us. He will teach us. The Holy Spirit will correct you. Why? To get you back on the right track. He will get you back on the right track. His discipline isn't out of anger. You have to understand this. It's out of love. He convicts you because he loves you and he knows what's best for you. But if we aren't careful, we will neglect the correction and the convicting voice of the Holy Spirit. Guess what? What happens so many times is the more you say no, the easier it is to say no.
Sure.
The more you push aside the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the further and further he's not moving away from you, you're moving away from him.
Yeah.
As you say no, you're taking a step away. As you refuse to listen, you're taking a step away. And you are removing yourself further and further. But I encourage you today, if you have removed yourself from the earshot of conviction, all you have to do today is say, Holy Spirit, please, I want to have a renewed relationship with you. I love what David prayed. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then he said, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Meaning, I need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I need him to teach me. I need him to convict me. I need him to discipline me. The world will tell you that discipline and correction and conviction is mean and it's judgmental. But let me tell you, I can say with 100% assurance today, it's not. It is birthed out of love. So welcome the conviction of Holy Spirit in your life. The third thing that the Holy Spirit will produce in your life is purity. Because he will give you power to say no, power to say yes, power to overcome the enemy. He will convict you so that you can be pure. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind through that room where they were gathered in one accord, it also says in verse 3 of chapter 2 that then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on each of them. So what showed up on the day of Pentecost? Fire. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said of Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Right? Now, why is that important? Because fire is a purifier. Fire is a cleanser. Just like a landowner would set fire to underbrush to cleanse his land of bramble and bushes and weeds and you know, snares that would make the land not as useful, not as profitable, or just like gold and silver is passed through the fire, because when you put gold and silver in fire, it passes through there and the impurities are able to be drawn out of it and you have pure silver or pure gold. Why? Because it was put in the fire, okay? So the Holy Spirit will ignite your heart and will burn away every impure motive and every thought and every intent that does not line up with the Word of God. Now, why is this important? Here's why this is important. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, what does that say of the one that is not pure in heart? They won't see God. If we want to see God, we must be pure.
Yeah.
We should have a desire for purity, and that purity comes from the burning, cleansing fire of the Holy Spirit. David prayed in Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 through 4, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. So you cannot ascend the hill of the Lord nor stand in his holy place unless you have clean hands and a pure heart. So, how do we stay pure? We stay pure by the fire of the Holy Spirit burning constantly in our life. Because nothing that is impure can stay in the fire. It'll get burned up. As it passes through, it'll just get burned up. So we live in a generation, though, that no longer values purity. There used to be a day and age, and it wasn't as long ago as maybe some of us would think, that honored purity. It was respected. It was honorable. It was sought after. But now today, purity is just not something that people strive after, long for, desire, because the media celebrates people that are wicked and sinful. Actually, let's get real for a second. The church celebrates, lifts up, exalts, looks to for influence people that are not pure. Through movies, Spotify streams, Instagram likes, Facebook likes. And I just want to say for a second, parents, be very aware of what your children are following, looking at, and liking. You may say, they get mad at me if I look at their phone. What if it pushes them away? When they pay the rent, they can make the rules, right? But until then, if you're in my house, You're going to live according to my rules. And I'd rather have my child get mad at me for 2 weeks and go to heaven than think that I'm the coolest dad in the world and live the rest of their eternal life in damnation. So it's okay to make your children mad at you, parents, if you are looking out for their best interest. God didn't make you their buddy. If he wanted you to be their buddy, you'd be 12, okay? But he didn't. You're their parent. Teach your children the value of purity. The problem is we're not teaching pure values anymore. Many people are allowing the TV to raise their children. And listen, the TV will not teach your child pure values. Okay? Don't let the enemy infiltrate your home through music, through media, through cell phones, through whatever instant messaging, whatever it may be. Don't allow them to. But what you should do is allow the Holy Spirit to purge your home. Yeah, say, Holy Spirit that's living inside of you, always remember this, the Holy Spirit is in you. When you get filled with the Spirit, he's not in heaven. Jesus left the Spirit on the earth for you and for me. So as you walk through your home, say, Holy Spirit, show me, is there anything impure in here? Anything that needs to be burned up, anything that means, now I'm not talking about, you know, having a bonfire in the back and throwing the TV, you know, if that's what he tells you to do, call me, because I'll come get your TV and take it to my house and we'll watch pure stuff on it. But follow the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And ask him, is there anything in my life? Is there anything in my truck? Is there anything in my car? Is there anything in my workplace that is not of you that I need to eliminate from my life in order to be pure? Yeah. Allow the Holy Spirit to purge you. Just like gold and silver, when it passes through the fire and the impurities are removed, then it becomes profitable. Then it becomes worthy of being used by a goldsmith or a silversmith. This guy was telling me the other day, he watches this guy on YouTube and he finds this old worthless gold and he melts it down, removes the dross, and then he sells it at a profit. That's what the Holy Spirit can do in your life. Because listen, you are precious to God, but you're marred, you're scarred, you're sinful. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to come inside of you and burn you and cleanse you and purge you, you become something profitable in the hand of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So will what is in your house pass through the fire, or will it be destroyed by the fire? Is it beneficial? And if it isn't beneficial, why do you want it? Why do we want things that aren't beneficial for us? Because we have a sin nature and we need the fire of the Holy Spirit to purge us and to cleanse us. Here's the deal. Everybody wants the power of the Holy Spirit, but few will allow him to purify and convict them. Yes. Oh, so many Christians are like, I want the fire of the Holy Spirit. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, then don't do that anymore. Well, I don't want to stop doing that, right? And we become like the 380. I want to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Okay, wait in Jerusalem till it comes. Well, I got a farm. I've got a donkey payment. I've got, you know, family obligations, right? So many things that could be excuses, and we want the power without waiting, without being obedient. If you don't receive purification, you won't be able to carry the power. So allow him to purify you. So now you may be asking, I'm going to begin to wrap up. You may be asking, how can I get these results? I want power. I want the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to be pure so that I can see God, so I can be used by God, so I can carry the power that he has for me. So how can I live in these things? I'm glad you asked. Okay? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5 and we'll begin to wrap up with Galatians chapter 5. In this chapter 5 of Galatians, Paul writes very clearly and shows us what we need to do in the Holy Spirit. We're going to read verse 16 and verse 25, and I just want to talk about this for a few minutes, and then we'll be done for today. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Okay? Now, but then in verse 25, I love this. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you to see this. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit is the starting point, not the finish line. Yeah. So many people see the baptism as a finish line that they crossed.
Yeah,
I got it. I got it. I did it. I did that. I spoke in tongues. I fell out on the floor. I shouted. I screamed. I felt bubbling inside of my stomach. I got the Spirit, right? That's the starting line, not the finish point. Okay? You will not cross the finish line until you hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And trust me, if you want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," you're going to need the power, conviction, and purification of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just manifest himself once a week or once a year, but he desires to have constant companionship with you and with me. That's why Paul would say, listen to this, if we live in the Spirit, I love this. Do you know that's, if you read it in the Greek, it actually reads this way. If we've been made alive by the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. There's a lot of people that have been made alive by the Spirit of God when they got saved and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're not walking in the Spirit. Yeah. That's what Paul is saying. If you've been made alive by the Spirit, why aren't you walking with Him? Why would you be content with that one moment, that one time, that one service, that one experience? Why wouldn't you walk with Him? Yeah. If He's made you alive, if He gave you power in that one moment, why wouldn't you want to walk in that power all the time? If we've been made alive, if we live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. That word walk, I love it. It means to be in rank, to walk in cadence, and to keep in step. So He's saying, if you've been made alive by the Spirit, then keep up with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Don't get ahead of Him. Don't get behind Him. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Walk in submission, cadence, intimacy, right there with the Holy Spirit. The best example I can give to you is a mascot outfit. Okay? Just recently, somebody in Chattanooga turned themselves in because they stole the Chattanooga Lookouts mascot uniform. I just think that's funny. I don't know. Like, why would you want to steal a mascot uniform and think that? I don't know. But anyways, when you get in that mascot uniform, you're now walking in that character.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the same way. I know that's a goofy way to think about it, but what He wants us to do is He wants us to get in the Spirit and the Spirit in us so that we're not walking just with the Spirit, but in the Spirit.
Yeah.
We're not just walking hand in hand with the Spirit. We are in Him. He is in us. It's as if we become one with the Holy Spirit.
Good.
Not getting ahead, not falling behind. That's why Paul would say, if you've been made alive, walk with Him.
Yeah.
Walk in Him. Let Him control and lead your life. That's the relationship that He's calling us to. Not just to encounter Him on Sundays, but to be in unity with Him at all times. And here's one of the best things about unity with the Holy Spirit. Is if you look back over in John chapter 14 and 16, Jesus identifies the Holy Spirit as a name of the Helper. It's one of His names, okay? And if you've learned anything, if you've studied any kind of things about the names of God are there to define God for us so that we can better understand who He is. And so Jesus was trying to give the people an understanding and give us an understanding of who the Spirit is, how He functions, what He does. And so He said His name is the Helper, okay? That word helper is the word parakletos, and it means this: properly, a legal advocate who makes the right judgment call because he is close enough to the situation. There are going to be decisions that you need to make on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, that you need the Holy Spirit to be close enough to that situation to make the right judgment call so that you know what to do, where to go. And that's why Paul said, walk in the Spirit.
Good.
Don't walk in your own understanding, in your own thoughts, in your own emotions, in your own feelings. You want to know how to get out of depression? Stop walking in your own feelings and walk in the Spirit.
Right.
You want to know how to overcome that addiction, overcome that fear, overcome that worry? Stop giving in and walking in your own way and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He will lead you. He will guide you. And Jesus said, He will help you and He will teach you in all things.
Yes.
Not just in spiritual things. Have you ever thought that God wants to help you on your job? God wants to help you in your marriage? God wants to help you with that lawnmower that you can't get to start? God wants to help you with that child that challenges every single thing you say? but he'll teach you.
That's right.
He'll show you. He will lead you. He will guide you. And it's important that we pray in the Spirit. It's important that we use the gift of tongues that he has given us. But it's also important that we walk in the Spirit, because he made us alive. So we should walk with him and walk in him. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. What I want to ask you to do very simply is, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just lift your hands. Father, and I just want to pray over you today. Father, I ask that you would fill us fresh and new. God, you are the same Father, the same Lord, and the same God that some 2,000 years ago sent your Holy Spirit to blow through that upper room and to rest with tongues of fire upon each head of those 120 individuals that were obedient enough to wait on you. And so right now, we just wait on you. And I want to just encourage you, say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. Because in the scriptures, when they would pray over someone, they would say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. That word receive means to welcome with hospitality. Welcome the Holy Spirit hospitably in your heart right now. Make a way for him. Just like if somebody was coming to your house, you would put the pillows in the right place on the couch. You'd vacuum, you'd do the dishes, you'd light a candle, you'd turn some music on, whatever it is that you would do to get ready for company. Imagine that within your heart and spiritually apply it to go, I want to make a place that is comfortable for you, Holy Spirit. I want to welcome you with hospitality. I want to walk in you. And just allow him to make you alive. The Spirit of God will jolt you back to life. The things in your life that have been dead, that have been dormant, that have been dragging you down, that have been hurting you and keeping you from the calling of God on your life, right now, they're broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that by your power that you would break addiction in Jesus' name. If you are struggling with an addiction right now, there's the power of God present here today to break that addiction off of your life. And I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you're struggling with addiction, you don't have to be embarrassed of it. You don't have to. Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand. If you want that addiction broken off of your life, I see that hand. There are multiple hands that are lifted. God, I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that addiction would be broken. It doesn't matter what kind of addiction it is. It doesn't matter. No matter how long you've been walking in it, no matter how long you've been battling with it, today it is broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is stronger than anything that you are facing, and he is not just going to do it all for you, but he is going to give you the power to do it. He's going to give you the power to walk holy, to walk righteous, to say no to ungodliness and worldly lust. So receive right now the power of the Holy Spirit that will come within you and will lead you and will guide you so that you can walk in step, walk in cadence, walk in rank, realizing that he is superior and he has ultimate authority in your life to help you and teach you and show you and guide you as to what you should say yes to and what you should say no to. If you're wanting the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that voice you want to be closer to that, you want to be more open to that, just receive that right now. God, I pray the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be honest. God, I pray that I thank you that you will be who you say you are, but I pray that we would be open to allow you to be that convictor in our life, to expose sin. God, if there's something that we've been doing that has been causing problems and harm in our life because it's sin and we don't realize it, expose it right now. God, I pray that you would show us what it is. God, I pray that you'd begin to give people pictures in their mind right now of what those things are, and that they would begin to see them as what they are. They would see even like that mask coming off, and maybe it looks good on the outside, but on the inside, it's rotten, it's evil, it's bad, it's keeping us back. Lord, I pray that you would expose that. And if you need purification right now, just raise your hands. God, I ask that you would purify your body, purify your bride, purify your church. God, as you say that you are coming back for a pure and a spotless bride, that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, we ask that you would burn inside of us, burn away anything that is wrong, anything that is bad. God, just as in the parable of the wheat and the tares, they gathered them and the tares they threw into the fire. God, the tares of our lives, burn them up so that they will not hinder us. God, we lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. And we ask that the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost would burn away the chaff, would burn away. The Bible says wood, hay, and stubble will be burned away. Anything in your life that is is corruptible, is not of him, allow him to burn it up. And Lord, we pray that we would not quench the Spirit, but that we would do everything in our human ability to create a hospitable environment, a heart that you want to be in, a place that you have free reign to do whatever you want to do through us, in us. So we just submit to you and we say we want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of our flesh. We want to have a relationship with Holy Spirit. I thank you that you made a way for that to be possible through Pentecost. And I pray that you would help us to be faithful, to wait on you at all times, to not try to get ahead of you, but to be obedient to the voice and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Would you raise your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace and may he smile on you. And may you live in the power, conviction, and purity that the Holy Spirit will produce and bring in your life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.